they walk you through, right? How to, what everything from the scent to the way it sits in your mouth and...
Yeah,
that's... I just need to go home and start all over today.
Sits in your mouth.
Sabrina, please cut that out. And don't put that in the intro clip, please. Okay, so the tasting... please don't. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of our 50 Reasons to Visit Ireland, Crystal Travel and Tours in Boston. My name is Caitlin, and we're not talking about mixed drinks today, as I've been reminded, but my favorite go-to mixed drink is a White Russian. So there's that for you.
Episode 28. 28 and feeling great. Yeah. Also, Joe Donnan's age.
Wow.
I am Joe Donnan. And my favorite mixed drink is probably also a White Russian, but I'm not really sure.
You're not sure?
I used to drink them a lot in college.
At 28, shouldn't you be sure?
I don't really drink mixed drinks.
Well, yeah.
I like beer and stout.
We are breaking down many things that make Ireland such a great place to visit. It's an overused phrase, but there really is something for everyone there, and a drink for everyone there, if you're of age, that is. Disclaimer.
That is a nice little segue, because I was going to mention at some point in this podcast that the next four episodes are all about drinks.
Whoa.
And they're really nice drinks, too.
So they are nice drinks.
Pretty exciting.
Yes. So, Joe, would you like to tell everybody about Reason 28?
Yes. But first, we have various themes we'll focus on. And within those themes, we'll count up from 1 all the way through 250. We are at number 28 today. Our current theme is food and drink. And the reason is Irish stout.
Woohoo!
It's exciting for somebody who knows what stout is. It might not be exciting for somebody who doesn't know what stout is.
But when they find out what it is, then, you know.
Then they'll...
It's like, whoa.
Oh, that's what they're talking about.
So
why didn't they just put that in the title?
Exactly, yes. So,
what's stout?
Would you like to know what stout is?
Yes.
So, according to the dictionary, stout is a kind of strong, dark beer brewed with roasted malt or barley. And I looked that up because one of our interns was not quite sure what it was. And I wasn't quite sure myself either. I knew I liked it.
And
but I wasn't...
I was at home one day recently and Christina got a text and looked at her phone. She goes, is stout a beer?
See?
I said, why are you asking? See? So one of her friends had just texted her and said, quick, ask Joe if stout is or if Guinness is a beer. And I was like, yes, technically it definitely is. And I was trying to explain it. She just like text back, yes. So, but it's an important distinction.
Have her include this podcast in her answer, right? So let's dive into Irish stout, shall we?
Do you mean that literally, like if there was like a big pool of stout?
Would that not
could,
be the most fun?
I don't know. It'd probably be pretty sticky, to be honest.
I feel like a lot of my friends have basically done that, though, in college. I feel like that was basically the thing. Okay, moving on. Not going to talk about my college days right now. Not at work, especially. Okay, Murphy's is first up on our list. James J. Murphy, the founder of this Murphy's drink. Now, I don't think I've had this before, Joe. But James J. Murphy was born in 1825. He was the oldest son of 15 children.
Solid Irish
lots
family,
of siblings.
Yeah.
Lots of friends.
I think it's Paddy, actually. One of his... Could it be his wife or his... Somebody... Well, there was 23 children in their family, anyway.
23!
Yeah, big family.
My goodness. Well, this James J. Murphy, he helped run a local distillery in Cork. He sold his share in that distillery, however, to help fund the setup costs of his own brewery in 1856. James was the senior partner along with four of his brothers, because when you have so many brothers and sisters, you know, you have like instant business partners right there. Throughout his life, he was extremely philanthropic and supported hospitals, orphanages, and handled general relief of distress in the city of Cork. He was a pretty cool guy. He was like Superman of Cork.
Wow.
But I don't think he like wore a cape or flew or, you know, had Lois Lane or anything.
Who knows?
Look at all these Superman references I'm making.
Yeah, but she probably used to watch it in the 90s as well.
Maybe.
With Tim the Toolman Taylor that we were talking about last week. Yeah.
Definitely. So James J. Murphy was described as a prince in the charitable world. He and his brothers purchased the buildings of what was the Cork Foundling Hospital. For years, it was known as Lady's Well Brewery because it's situated near a famous holy well and water source. However, it was actually purchased in far, far down the line history by Heineken International, and now the name of the brewery itself is Heineken Brewery Ireland. Did you know that?
No, but that's kind of the way it's all going, unfortunately, these days, which is, I mean, it's still...
It's all Heineken.
It's all Heineken, Diageo, etc.
Interesting, interesting. Anyway, they produce Heineken there as well as Murphy Stout. So brewing for Murphy Stout started in 1856. And little backstory on James and his philanthropic adventures. He got a lot of recognition in 1885 and actually got his own song. And Joe, I looked it up because I was going to sing it and I was going to like... have a little American Idol moment, mm-hmm. but I could not find it anywhere on YouTube. So if someone finds it, please share it with us or something, because that would be fun.
50reasonspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. So this song refers to his efforts to save the local economy from ruin that year. As the story goes, Munster Bank, which was back then a key bank in the region, was about to close. James, the hero that he was, got them to establish a new bank, which was the Munster in Leinster, so he combined two, and prevented economic disaster and bankruptcy for thousands of Irish people. A line from the song is, "Hurrah for the man who's a friend of the poor." I would have sung that for you. Great.
Oh, because you would have known how it went.
Exactly. "Hurrah for the man who's a friend of the poor." There you go.
I think you should make up your own based on that line.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just did.
Oh.
Hurrah!
I was talking about the entire song, not just the...
Like a whole song?
Yeah, I mean, not just the hand movements that you're doing right now, where you're, like, doing the screen grab and the fist clutch and grab into the chest. Yeah, no.
Oh, wow. So, James was a big deal, and this song would have been heard in pubs a lot at that time. Also in pubs a lot at that time was, of course, his Murphy Stout. In 1889... a malt house was built for the brewery. Today, it's one of the most famous Cork landmarks, and it still houses Murphy's offices. In 1986, Murphy celebrated its 50th anniversary. The company treated its brewery workers and their families to a day trip taken by train to Killarney.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, right?
Yes.
Guess how young the youngest worker was.
You want me to guess, even though I see it in my notes
I didn't plan that one out too well.
Was the youngest worker 13?
How could you possibly have known? He was only 13.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
You can imagine being at a brewery working at 13?
Yeah. In 1800s Ireland, yes.
Okay, fine. Well, okay, that makes one of us. When World War I started, employees who enlisted were guaranteed their jobs upon their return. This was big at that time, and Murphy's was highly praised for that. And it would also be big now, I would think. In 1979, Murphy's reached American shores for the first time. Before then, many of its potential drinkers had been lost to immigration. As we know, the Irish immigration was a very, very pivotal movement in all things ancestry and heritage related, which we've talked about. The people of Murphy's are big golf fans too, and that became apparent in 1994 when they began sponsoring Murphy's Irish Open Golf Championship. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Oh, okay. All right. Can't stump you. Today, it's sold in over 40 countries, and it's been around for more than 150 years. It's the second largest brewer in Ireland. I don't know what could be the first.
Maybe we'll tell people later.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Sadly, you can't tour Murphy's. Wish you could. But you can walk around the beautiful Cork region and drink it during some great pub tours.
And that is one of my kind of favorite things to do. Not to go to Cork and drink Murphy's, but to go to any town or city, even across America, and drink their local beers or stouts or whatever is in the pubs. I was in Portland at the weekend. And I drank myself some Allagash, which was nice. It's like living like a local, technically, even though the locals might not even like the drink. But just, it's a good way to embed yourself in the culture and to get to know it.
And you really get a taste
of
the culture, right?
One thing I wanted to point out before we move on to our next stout was just how the history behind these drinks that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, brewing started in Murphy's in 1856. That's a long time ago. And maybe some of the ones we're talking about later might be even earlier.
I have a hunch.
and it's just important to note that they're not only that, but usually this started out with one man. It's not a big faceless corporation like they may be today, but the history of the drink and how it has changed, or how it hasn't changed more importantly, over the years, I think is something that is really cool, and why it continues to be such an important part of Irish life.
Definitely.
These days.
And people like that. People like to have a face to put with a company, especially a drink that they like so much.
We're going to talk about it next week, so I won't give away the surprise, but my go-to beer in Ireland now is one that I had never drank before going to the brewery and taking the tour.
Uh-huh.
And the history mixed with the taste, because sometimes beers are not that different from each other, but having a connection or the history to it is important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So moving on from Murphy's, we've got Beamish. Like Murphy's, this stout also got its start in Cork in 1792. So, yes, going
earlier.
Off of what you said earlier than 1856. Beamish and Crawford were simply two Cork merchants with the dream. That dream led them to establish the famous Beamish and Crawford Brewery. There are literally only two surviving images of these lads.
You've got images in inverted commas there, Caitlin.
I do, because they're like, so they're images, but it's like...
They're not 10,000 pixel images.
They're not high res,
pardon the pun, they're a little grainy.
Wow. We're just on the ball with puns today.
I knew when we came in this morning that this was going to be one of those episodes.
I'm sorry, everyone. So back to the images thing. So Beamish, his image photo, it's just like a side profile of like his head and upper body, and it's all in black.
Nice.
And everything. Looks like an art project you'd have in high school. You know, it's cool nonetheless, but you don't know what he looked like. You have no idea.
Of course.
And then Crawford, it's about like a quarter of his body that's like out of the portrait.
Mm-hmm.
I got a kick out of it, although I've also had a lot of coffee today, so everything's a little funnier for me today. Anyways, by 1805, Beamish became the largest brewery in Ireland, or the Beamish and Crawford Brewery, that
mm-hmm.
is. The drink is still enjoyed today, and this is another drink that's now under the ownership of Heineken International. There's that Heineken again,
mm-hmm.
coming up and just... I put my fist up.
Like
taking our drinks.
Like the old grandpa on his porch going, get off my lawn.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Get away from my Irish stout. Also like Murphy's, you can't tour the facility if you're a Beamish fan, but you can drink it in the wonderful city of Cork when you visit, or throughout Ireland as it's found throughout. And that's it for Irish stout, right? That's
all Irish stout.
That's,
yeah, that's the end of the episode.
You know,
and just so we are clear, Irish stout is that black drink with the white head.
Yeah, there's nothing else that you would get in Ireland, right? That would be,
No, I think we'll move on. Is it trivia now?
I think it's trivia. I think it's, should we get Sabrina in here? Or, no, we gotta talk about Guinness.
And it's important to note we're going to talk about Guinness for a little while now. This is not a Guinness ad, because... But everybody,
though.
I mean, one of the first things people associate with Ireland is Guinness, so we can't not talk about it. It's a huge part of Irish culture.
I wish it was a Guinness ad, because I like Guinness advertising.
It is excellent for two marketers like ourselves. It is excellent advertising.
So I'm going to tell you a story, Joe. You may know this story.
Uh-oh.
All right. Once upon a time in Ireland, there was a man named Arthur Guinness.
I thought you were going to tell a personal story there for a second, and it was going to be one of those. I had the chance to go to Guinness Brewery, but I didn't because I was sick or had a boyfriend.
You know what? I actually went with my boyfriend at the time.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Once upon a time in Ireland, Arthur Guinness was born in County Kildare in 1725. So
earlier again? Or
earlier?
Yes.
Earlier again. In his late 20s, he inherits 100 pounds. Now, when I first heard that, I was like, just like gets all this weight, jumping on a scale. He inherits 100 pounds from his godfather, and he decides, you know what, I'm gonna set up my own ale brewery in Leixlip, County Kildare. In 1759, Arthur makes the leap to the big city in Dublin. Then, on New Year's Eve, of all days, he signs a lease for a small, ill-equipped stake of property located at St. James's Gate, where he begins to brew ale. Now, might I point out, I think it's interesting because the name, of course, is St. James's date for the brewery for Guinness. And we've got James J. Murphy, and, you know, his is what, the Ladies Well Brewery is, like, the name of, I don't know. I thought that was, I guess it's not as interesting when I say it out loud.
It's not at all interesting, but good for you.
I thought it was
good for
cool.
You for trying to point stuff out.
Good thing we're not doing fun facts anymore, right? Can you imagine? Joe.
Fun fact.
Boy, look what I have for you today.
Gee golly.
Guinness gets exported for the first time 10 years later. And is shipped to England. Then, things take a slightly different turn. There's this thing called porter that starts becoming really popular in England, or London, more specifically. And it's called porter because it's a favorite of London's city streets and river porters.
And how that is now pronounced by the Irish is porther.
Porther.
Okay, they just throw in an extra H there after it's a TH. Porther, yeah.
You say it sounds cool. I say it. I sound like how do I move my mouth? Okay. So our Arthur learns of this, and he's like, whoa. And this is in quotes. Whoa. Mind blown. No more ales. Let's perfect creating a bold, perfect black beer.
That's a direct quote from Arthur Guinness.
End quote.
So, whoa. Mind blown. Arthur Guinness.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
They should put that
on
their
mark. Can't deal. Literally can't.
Hashtag can't even deal.
Can't even deal.
Continue.
Yes. So it's not until 1817, nearly 60 years after Arthur's move to Dublin, barrels of this drink are sent to America. Joe, have you ever had a black velvet?
What's a black velvet?
Okay, I take that as a no. So after Prince Albert died...
If it was in 1861, then no. I wasn't around.
Just because they had it in 1861 doesn't mean they don't have it now.
Okay, continue.
They had Guinness back centuries ago and we're having it now. Well, not right now, but we could have it.
We
can't have it now. Okay, so in 1861, sadly, Prince Albert died, and a London bar decided that even champagne needed to be dark in mourning. So what does he do, Joe? He takes champagne and he adds Guinness Extra Stout, mixes it in, and there you have it. We can share photos in case you're giving me the quizzical brow here.
No, I think I'm okay.
Oh, really?
Doesn't sound great to me.
It looks really pretty. It looks very sophisticated.
Okay, well,
very black tie, I think.
Show me some photos. We'll decide then.
Pixar, they never drank it, right? Okay. By the late 1860s, St. James Gate is referred to as a city within a city. The brewery has its own railway system, medical department, and even a fire brigade.
Wow.
So, you know, just get me an apartment with, you know, a view, and I'm all set. I got my
drink, got
my fire brigade, in case my grilled cheese turns out bad. Things keep running smoothly. They bring in an Oxford-educated chemist, who goes by the name of Alexander Forbes Watson, very sophisticated, to continue perfecting the Guinness brand. Some of the most iconic ads ever start to run in the late 1920s. You've got, "My goodness, my Guinness," and "Guinness is good for you." And these ads all feature a variety of zoo animals. The toucan's probably the most famous. Would you say so, Joe?
Definitely, yeah. Still to this day,
Do you
yeah.
have a favorite Guinness ad? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
That is definitely putting me on the spot. I think the fact that they used the "Guinness is good for you" tag at all was very ballsy.
Totally.
And leads me into a little bit of a story. I used to give blood when I was in Ireland, as much as I could, and I can't anymore, unfortunately. I was really mad when I came over here. They don't allow me to give blood because I was in Ireland between certain years.
Oh,
but now I'm pretty sure I can't give blood in Ireland either because I've been in America for the last few years.
You're just no good.
So
you're no good.
That's really annoying. But when you're in Ireland and when you give blood, I think you give probably a pint, and then you have to go to the refreshments table and sit for 10 or 15 minutes to make sure you're not too woozy to drive or you're not going to faint or whatever. And they've got bags of potato and chocolate and nuts and stuff. But they also have cans of Guinness.
Really?
Because Guinness is high in iron, and after you give blood, obviously, that's something you want
to replace
as much as you can. So yeah, you can sit and get a free...
Guinness is good for you.
There you go.
I like it. Nice. Guinness Draft is born in 1959 with scientist Michael Ash. He invents the drink's distinctive surge and settle, I'm doing air quotes, effect. This makes Guinness the first brewer to actually employ scientists to create the beer. That's kind of cool.
I didn't know that, but that does make sense.
In 1991, Guinness beats the internet as being voted the best invention of the previous 40 years. Of course, a vote done by the Brits.
Wow.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
That's pretty impressive. Well, I guess the internet wasn't. I feel if that was voted now.
In 1991, the internet was not that big, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, if that was done now, it would be different.
Yeah. I mean, this was, like, before dial-up even, probably, mm-hmm. right? Or was that dial-up? I don't even know.
I mean, in Ireland, dial-up was still now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everywhere, obviously, but in country.
There anyway, you go. There you go. Then, in 2000, Guinness lived happily ever after. Remember I said once upon a time in Ireland earlier?
Wow. When you have to explain it, that's where the real gold happens.
It's all gold.
If you mentioned it was a fairy tale at the start.
I'm taking a bow. I'm taking a bow right now.
Adieu to you, Madame Potts.
Yes, yeah, so Guinness lived happily ever after and opened its storehouse to the public. Which you can go see today.
So, do you like Guinness is the next question I have
do.
For you.
Yeah. I had my first Guinness probably in America, but I don't recall it. And I remember when I was on my way to Ireland to, you know, study and live and whatever for 5 months, that was, like, the first thing I wanted to do. And it was not the first thing I did because I was jet lagged and I had to sign a bunch of paperwork and whatever.
You had to go to Athens and get some Greek yogurt and
get
stuff
sick.
Like that. Yeah.
It was like the 10th thing I did though. We went to, the John Hewitt in Belfast. And I had fish and chips and it was an appetizer, but it was like two big pieces of fish and a ton of chips. And I had a Guinness and I at first was kind of like,
yeah.
Oh. And then I was like, oh. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked it. It took a little while.
It does, yeah.
Okay. So the Guinness Storehouse, of course, is at St. James Gate. The tour, should you take one, which you definitely should, consists of 8 floors, if you include the ground floor. On the ground, you get an intro to the brewing story. Moving on to the first floor, you get more on Arthur Guinness and his history, his backstory, more once upon a times, if you will. A tasting experience, you get to explore all the flavors, all the ingredients. Then you go on to the third floor, which is the world of advertising. And I know we've talked about before how much we love the advertising and marketing that went into Guinness. It looks at the print, the digital, and the TV campaigns of Guinness as well. Then you get the Guinness Academy, where you learn how to pour the perfect pint. And Joe, you've done this, right?
I have.
You've had this experience.
Yeah, favorite floor was the world of advertising.
Yeah,
This was my favorite experience.
Yes.
Because the two kind of experiences you can have, and I know you'll get into this in a minute, is for the, I think, the entry-level ticket or whatever it is, you can either do the pour-your-own-pint experience or get your free pint at the Gravity Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely do the pour-your-own-pint experience.
And I actually think, looking back, I did not do this. I did the free pint at the Gravity Bar. I don't know why I didn't do this Guinness Academy thing. Maybe it was closed or too busy.
It's possible. The thing to mention about the Guinness Storehouse is that it is most definitely 100% a tourist trap. But sometimes that's a good thing.
Sure.
It is pretty cool. You can go around and you can do your own self-guided tour. You can take as much or as little time as you want. So we...
Yes.
Spent a lot of time on floors 1, 2, 3, I think.
Okay.
And then we did the academy, which was nice, and we sat there and we drank our pints, I think, or maybe we brought them with us upstairs. But we didn't really do much on the 5th or possibly the 6th, and then we just went straight up to the Gravity Bar because there wasn't that much else to do because we were running out of time and there wasn't...
Right.
We had seen our favourite floors and we had done our experience, which was nice. But it's one of the things that almost everybody wants to do when they go to Ireland.
Absolutely.
It's one of the first things, and it's one of the main reasons people go to Dublin, I think. So I'm not going to turn people away from that. It is an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
And you can have, as Joe mentioned, pouring your perfect pint. You can have a private experience. You can have the connoisseur experience if you prefer something a little bit more upscale and luxurious. This is something that you need to book ahead of time, am I right?
One of my buddies did that, or his girlfriend got it for his birthday or whatever. He loved it as well.
Thought
it was awesome because it
is.
It's more private and less kind of shuttled in and out, you know. And
it feels less touristy,
exactly,
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can help you book that as well.
Of course.
I think we can hook you up. You move on to the next floor where you have the Brewer's Dining Hall. This is exactly like it sounds. You can choose from all sorts of dishes to order. that contain Guinness within their recipe. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
At the very top is the gravity bar. It's this 360 degrees room with glass windows that give you an amazing view of Dublin. And I always say, even if you're not a Guinness fan, if you've never had Guinness, if you don't drink, whatever, going to the Guinness storehouse and going to this gravity bar is worth every penny. Not that it's not expensive, I should say, but it's worth the time, it's worth waiting in line, it's worth whatever. It is the coolest thing. The views are fabulous.
I thought another, we're speaking of Guinness and marketing, they did a recent campaign that I thought was really cool. They teamed up with Airbnb and actually gave away one night Airbnb stay in the Gravity Bar, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's fully a marketing campaign,
oh,
but
totally.
It's a pretty cool thing to say that you would be able to
nice.
Do or have done.
Nice. So we have one of our own Crystal Travel employees in with us.
This is like a very special guest for Caitlin. She's been trying to get her on for ages now.
She's really cool. Yes, she's awesome. And we're also both big Chick-fil-A fans. Not that that's important at all, but we bonded over that. Anyways, she's in. This is Anne.
Hello.
Say hello, Anne. She's in to talk a little bit more about Guinness with us and about her own Guinness experience. You are a big Guinness fan, right?
I am, yes.
And you've been to the storehouse?
Three times?
Well, I've been once, so...
What is your favorite thing about the storehouse, Anne?
The gravity bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Although the pour your own pint is pretty cool, too.
So cool.
And the gravity bar, is it down to the views of Dublin, the fact that it's like a 360 panoramic view, or do you like how the pint tastes up there, or the atmosphere, or what's the...
I think the atmosphere and the view. They also have really good music up there. It's kind of a... It's like a party.
Do you agree that Guinness tastes better in Ireland?
I do.
That
yeah.
is something we haven't
yes.
talked about yet, and
uh-huh.
I meant to talk about. I was in, as I mentioned already, just name-dropping cities I visit all the time. I was in Portland, Maine at the weekend, massive city, and I was at an Irish bar there and asked for a pint of Guinness, and the guy behind the bar goes, "Oh, you're very brave ordering that here as an Irish man," and he wasn't even Irish, but that's just the temperament people have at bars in America. And he, because he said that, I knew he actually knew what he was doing and that he was going to pour me a good pint. And
okay.
he did. It's the places where they have no idea how to pour the pint
yes.
that you have to worry about.
Yes.
Because you'll see, with the way we were talking about the Guinness scientist earlier, and there is a certain number of seconds you're supposed to leave your pint of Guinness to settle before you top it off. And that's what you learn at the pour your own pint experience. Basically, you're supposed to pour it at 45 degrees until it's, you know, 3/4 of the way up or a little bit more. Leave it to sit for 119.5 seconds, apparently, which is just under 2 minutes.
Get your timer going.
And then you're supposed to top it off at the end. I have gone to some bars in America where they have just left the glass down straight, pulled the tap and
yep.
let it overflow and left it. And Paddy actually tells a great story where he was in a local bar one day and an old man came in and asked for a pint of Guinness, and he got it and it was poured that way and it was terrible. So he asked for another one afterwards and said, and this time put a head on it. So as the barmaid was pulling the pint, she stuck a fork into the pint and started stirring it. So I don't know if your man just walked out or what happened,
wow.
but that's sacrilege to
wow.
anybody that might be listening.
My goodness,
ooh,
right?
Ooh, there it is.
Whoa, look
so,
at that.
And where did you have your favorite pint of Guinness? Or glass of Guinness? I know you drink glasses sometimes.
Sometimes, yes. I had a good one in Bantry recently.
Okay.
Which is the home of Beamish and Murphy's, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
A little bit of rivalry down there.
Full circle,
obviously,
too.
Obviously, Guinness is the big one.
Yes.
They like to hold strong to their native stouts as well.
Do you have a favorite pub or a few favorite pubs in Ireland where you like to enjoy Guinness when you go?
I really like Galway a lot. TQ
we
Galway.
We should mention that Anne is biased here because her mother is from Connemara. So,
yeah.
She but Chicoli in Galway, yes.
Yes.
Anywhere
Powers
else?
Pub in Ochterard. Spent 2 weeks there last year.
Interesting.
Not in the pub, but in Ochterard.
She never left.
And we did mention that you were in, is it Chijowatties on Aran
yes.
Islands with
yes.
a group
That's
of Australians
good,
at
yes.
one pint. There was a good pint there, yeah. The best pint I've had in recent years was down in Killarney, actually, believe it or not, in Falcha, which is a bar, restaurant, / I think possibly hotel, but we...
Okay.
We kept going back there because the pints were really good. But the funny thing is, they weren't that great downstairs, but they were there's an upstairs and downstairs, and the pints were actually way better upstairs.
Really?
I'm not sure why, or because it's the same bar.
Yeah.
So it's just it's funny how different it can be.
Strange.
And how a good pint is so hard to find sometimes.
Right. So Anne, we're talking about how there are recipes that you can, you know, cook with Guinness and everything. Do you enjoy food that has Guinness in it? Have you ever tried anything that has, you know, like a Guinness stew or anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stew with Guinness.
Have you
Delicious.
Ever cooked with Guinness? I don't cook at all, so I like anything. But no.
I haven't
no.
cooked with it. Nope.
I like the Guinness stews, and I also like the Guinness battered fish and stuff like that
yes.
that you can get. So any Guinness batter is really good.
Yes.
It's pretty interesting.
Very good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's time to shuttle Anne out of here and get in our next guest for our trivia.
Thank you, Anne.
Okay, we have Sabrina here, and it is my turn
trivia
today. I don't even know anymore. I can't keep track. How many questions have you got for me?
Four.
Are they multiple choice? Are they? Are we allowed to tell me this?
Two or multiple choice.
And am I going to... What is your best guess at how I'm going to do with this today? And also, did Caitlin help you?
Yeah,
there's
salt.
There's no steal today.
No,
okay.
Not
all right, let's go.
Okay, first question. As Caitlin mentioned, Arthur Guinness signed the lease for the St. James Gate property. How many years was the lease for?
How many years was the Guinness lease for?
Ready? A, 60 years.
Ah, this is easy.
B, 250 years. C, 3,000 years. Or D, 9,000 years.
It's a wide range. Arthur Guinness was a man of great foresight, and he signed the lease for 9,000 years.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's a big... It's not a marketing thing from Guinness, but it's definitely a fact.
Okay.
A lot of people would know it because it is such a ridiculous lease, but at the same time, obviously not that ridiculous, because it's working out.
It is. Okay, next question. How many pints of Guinness are brewed every day at St. James Gate? It's multiple choice.
All right.
But do you want to try to guess?
No,
without?
Because I look like an ass. But I will tell you afterwards, possibly.
Okay. A, 250,000. B, 500,000. C, 1 million. D, 3 million. Or E, 4.5 million.
Come on.
Wow.
Nice.
And the question was how many pints?
Yes.
3 million.
Yes. Good job.
Wow.
My initial thought was in the millions, but I didn't really know
mm-hmm.
where that was going to land.
Next question. How many children did Arthur Guinness have with his wife?
Now, he was one of 14, as we learned today. No, that was somebody else. 50. Damn it!
Oh, that was Beamish. Or no, that was Murphy, not Beamish.
Murphy, Beamish, Guinness. This is one I don't know.
Take a guess.
I will take a guess. 11.
No. 21.
I was going to guess 22 first, but I was like, that's ridiculous. All right.
Okay, and the last question. What is the only imported ingredient in Guinness beer? Or stout?
Hops, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. I know some stuff about beer. But I did visit the Guinness storehouse, and it does tell you some of that stuff. But also, I knew that hops are not native to Ireland. You usually have to import them, and I still don't even know what they are, but yeah, it's definitely something that you can...
Hops are the flowers of the hop plant Humulus lupulus, used primarily as a flavoring and stability agent.
Full of information is our Sabrina.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you, Sabrina. I did very well today, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, you did. Good job.
What have we got next? Caitlin and Conch, I guess.
Caitlin and Conch next.
Ugh. Okay, I did a good job here too, don't worry.
Joe got his own translator.
I
he told me this
as
morning.
As of next week, I will actually have somebody who knows some Irish doing some translating for me, so that we'll be
so
way ahead
been
of the game.
Learning this whole time, if you don't
know mediocre Irish. To poor Irish.
All right.
Okay, we're on episode 28.
I know.
I don't know if you told me, or I don't know if I told you before, but I am 28 at the moment. And
wow.
By the time we do episode 29, I'll still be 28, unfortunately. So
when's your
I won't
birthday?
Be able to September.
Oh.
And it's July now, so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Got a while, yes.
All right, you ready?
Okay.
You have to do this straight away, remember? Go.
Neil on Keen air and penta shell.
Okay. Not great, but not your worst effort ever. I mean, good job, Caitlin. You're awesome.
Thank you. I get a gold star.
You're awesome.
Thanks, I know. Neil! Okay. Neil on.
Ain. I don't know how to... That was one of the ones when I was telling you about phonetic pronunciation this morning. I had no idea how to spell Ain.
Yeah, okay. Neil Ain...
Keon.
Keon. Okay, okay.
I probably should have done K-E-Y. Yeah, that's
okay. The other one. That's okay. All right. Neil Ain Keon on Punta? Punta?
Punta.
Punta Sha.
Yes.
Sha.
Neil Ain Keon on Punta Sha.
Okay.
Okay. I will give you a pretty good hint here.
Okay.
The Paddy story I told you earlier. Would be something that old man would have said before ordering his second.
I see the word pint.
Yeah.
Before ordering his second, so he's pissed because he didn't get a good pint, right?
Yes.
Or is he just like, I want another drink, or this is a stupid drink. I don't like this drink.
You tell me.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. What was that noise?
I don't know. Caitlin does this kind of weird angry dog thing. Whereas the mailman is coming in.
Also,
doesn't trust him, but sees him every day at the same
time.
Just
the worst. Just the worst. Okay. Something about another pint. I would like another pint.
Okay.
This is a horrible pint.
Closer, because obviously it has to relate to that
this
story,
is an
or
awful
I wouldn't
pint.
Have told. Okay, is that your guess?
No. Yes. Sure. Okay. Yes. There is no head on this pint. Literally, that's what he said.
There is no head on this pint.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the literal thing.
I don't know what the literal thing was.
You told me the literal thing during the story. You missed the story, Sabrina.
Yeah.
But we'll fill you in later. Okay. There is no head on this pint.
Yes.
Okay?
And head is literally Kion. So
Kion.
This head that I'm pointing to is also referred to
I'll
as Kion.
I'll remember that because I'll think cranium, and I'll think K, and then I'll think Kion head.
Wow. Long walk for
I've
short
been
to go water
there.
I've
watching a lot
there.
Of The Office, and there's this one episode where he's like...
Dwight Schrute, oh no, is it?
He's like, I remember you because bald head, shiny, Sean's your name, or whatever. Okay. All right, well, that was Caitlin at Conch. Very good.
Yes.
I get like half a gold star, I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
If you're giving them
presence.
Out, then sure.
All right, moving on to Pots and Plans. Our tour for the reason is our old Irish pubs tour. You get 6 nights for this self-drive tour, starting in Dublin and ending in Shannon. Your first night's in Dublin, where you can spend some time at the Guinness Storehouse. You get a night in Belfast, where you can hang out at the Crown Liqueur Saloon, which is one of my favorite bars. It's an amazing Victorian bar in Northern Ireland. Then you spend some time in Athlone, where you can check out Sean's Bar, which is said to be the oldest bar in Ireland.
Fun fact I just thought of there. According to the Guinness Book of Records, Sean's Bar is the oldest bar in Ireland.
Okay,
so, you know,
okay. Well, I mean, you know.
We call
Guinness.
That full circle.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Then you spend 2 nights in Galway, where you can check out King's Head and pour a pint in a pub with great history. And check out O'Connell's Bar as well.
And I can attest, I think I've probably mentioned O'Connell's Bar a few times already on the podcast.
Probably.
That is like, it is, the front of it is an old man bar. So when you go in, you'll feel, if you're my age, you would feel out of, they'd all look at you and go, what are you doing here, whatever. But out the back, there's this incredible beer garden. And just inside to the left, there's this little old kitchen because it's just an old house. And there's like a stove there and everything. And you can, there's a snug in there. It's, I think it's my favorite bar in Galway. And that's
nice.
High praise because
nice.
I lived and went to college in Galway. So.
And then your last night is in Bunratty, where you can hang out at Dirty Nelly's, which is right near Bunratty Castle. We don't expect you to want to go to Ireland and just go from bar to bar to bar to bar, but these are just suggestions. These are places to
And that's
pint.
It's the reason why we put them in a lot of them in these places is because there is so much scenery, so much to do.
Yes.
Aside from, there just happens to be also a good nightlife or good bars to choose from as well.
Totally. This is customizable, as are all of our self-drive tours. These are just suggestions. We can provide any tips and insight you wish. We can include anything that you want to see. And you can find this and the other tours that we have talked about in our past episodes at crystal-travel.com/reasons.
You sure can.
Yay! Stout. Stout done. Stout out.
Wish there was some way we could work pots into that as well.
Pots.
No, pots tots is all we've
got there.
No.
Pots tots.
I'm stout.
Anyways, that's all we have for you today. We hope that you'll stay tuned for reason number 29 coming out on Monday, July 31st. Oh my gosh, almost the end of July for that. And now, Joe, if you would give us a Boron drum roll, please. Reason number 31 is...
beer.
Thank you, Samantha. We definitely are cheating on this one because, as we learned at the start of the episode, stout is a beer. But the reason why we mix these up is because some people literally want to go to Ireland for Guinness, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many other beers that are not stouts, whether it be older beers that have history that have been on the island for hundreds of years, or whether it's a lot of the new microbreweries popping up that we want to talk about, or other ones that are not quite new but a little older but are just breaking through in the US now that you might see. We wanted to talk about them.
Yay! And we'll be drinking during this next one, right?
I think we'll need to.
Thank you so much for listening. We want to remind you to visit 50reasonspodcast.com for upcoming episodes and show notes. Find us on Facebook at 50 Reasons Podcast and on Twitter at 50 Reasons Pod. And please, 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 please. Wow, that was nice. That was nice.
Harmonic. Harmony.
I was feeling that there. Please find us on Apple Podcast. Subscribe, like, rate, comment, listen forever.
All the time. Just leave it on repeat when you leave for the day.
Repeat.
And come back to it. Yeah.
Until next time, everybody.
Stout out.